Our text this morning is Nehemiah chapter 13. Nehemiah 13. Nehemiah chapter 13, beginning at verse 19 down through 21. 19 through 21. Hear the word of our Lord. And it came to pass that when the gates of Jerusalem began to be dark before the Sabbath, I commanded that the gates should be shut and charged that they should not be open till after the Sabbath. And some of my servants said I at the gates that there should no burden be brought in on a Sabbath day. So the merchants and sellers of all kind of ware lodged without Jerusalem once or twice. Then I testified against them and said unto them, why lodge ye about the wall? If ye do so again, I will lay hands on you. From that time forth came they no more on the Sabbath. Amen. Grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord is forever. Last week we considered what Nehemiah 13 verses 15 through 19 taught us regarding the Lord's Day and commerce. Children, we learned last week that God does not allow, but rather tells us not to shop, to go to the store, or watch sports on the Lord's Day. This is why you hear your parents sometimes say that they don't buy on the Lord's Day, because it is God's holy day. Well, children and adults, today we will continue our exposition of Nehemiah 13, picking up at verse 19. And we will see what God tells us is the responsibility of the civil government regarding the Lord's Day. By the help of the Lord, I will seek to answer such questions as, what responsibility, if any, does the civil government have in enforcing and keeping the Lord's Day? Or does he even have that duty today in the New Testament? And then what our attitude should be towards that position. And I'm going to limit the exposition to the duty of the magistrate or the government towards the Sabbath. I'm not going to get into all their duties or responsibilities today, because this, the biblical doctrine of the civil magistrate is a deep well to drink from, and that would head into a different series, and that would be a rabbit trail for me. So I want to focus in on the civil magistrate and the Sabbath itself. And so my goal and desire today is for all of us to understand what the Word of God teaches in this respect, especially in our culture. And to build you up regarding the whole counsel of God, and to then strengthen your faith. For you see, our Lord Jesus Christ tells us that we should grow in the grace and knowledge of who He is, and consequently of what His Word teaches. And given that the Psalms clearly teach, and the New Testament demonstrates, that Jesus Christ is the mediatorial king over all nations and civil governments, we need to consider this topic. So let us look now at verse 19. Nehemiah, as we saw last week, observed how commerce was freely and blatantly being conducted on the Sabbath. In his role as the governor of Judah, he set about ending the flow of commerce going into Jerusalem and Judah. We saw how he went after the nobles and the rich families and people in the city who were truly behind the commerce. How he reminded them that it was due in a very large measure of their ancestors' Sabbath desecration that they had been forced into exile after a brutal conquest by the Babylonians, which God used to punish Judah and Jerusalem for their idolatry and blatant Sabbath breaking, which now the nobles and the rich of the city were engaged in. Nehemiah spoke out against the sellers and the consumers. And now we come to that part of the text where Nehemiah does not just talk the talk, but he's going to take action. Nehemiah was not a priest. He was a civil ruler, a governor. And he had all the authority by God to rule and govern over the civil affairs that fall under his jurisdiction. Which in the text, in the Word of God, every time we see within thy gates, it's not just talking about a door, set of doors. But it's saying, hey, if it's within your gates, that's your sphere of responsibility. That is your jurisdiction. And therefore, they fall within the parameters of God's law. This is true of every civil magistrate or government. Today, we don't think about this too much, right? We don't have walled cities like in the medieval times or Roman times or pre-Roman times. They had walled cities to protect them from raiders and foreign armies. We don't have that anymore because they're obsolete because of aircraft. Right? We don't have walled cities. We don't have gates. But the idea is everything within the gate fell under the purview of the mayor, the governor, the ruler of that city. Brethren, it's important to understand that God has given humanity civil government to put society in good order and to ultimately be governed in accordance to the law of God. And there is nothing wrong with civil government. Nothing wrong with it. Actually, God's word commands civil government. It is an act of God's common grace to mankind that we have civil government. Why? So that we may have law and order in our society. Even the most ardent anarchists, those that teach that there should be no law or government or authority structure, ultimately has an authority structure. Unless he goes and lives by himself as a hermit. That's the only way that will work. Brethren, let us not confuse what the Word of God speaks regarding government and our skewed view of liberty. That we should be so free of government that we can do whatever we want. No. There is human government that God has instituted for the good of society. And to speak out against it, and to go against human civil government when it does not go against the Word of God is in itself rebellion against God. And we see the nobles doing this. The nobles in Jerusalem permitted commerce to occur on the Sabbath. They did not rule as God had commanded. Therefore, Nehemiah ordered that the gates to Jerusalem were to be closed as the sun set on Friday night, what we will call Friday night. And I want us to note an important fact regarding the time when the Sabbath begins. from this text. It is not because the Sabbath began on the sunset of the previous day. Notice here in verse 19 what it says. It says, "And it came to pass that when the gates of Jerusalem began to be dark before the Sabbath." So you see, it's not that the scriptures do not teach that the Sabbath is from sunset to sunset. Or when the sun goes down is when the Lord's Day or the Sabbath begins. The Sabbath is to be counted like any other day. It is a full day, a full 24-hour day. Okay? It's a full 24-hour day. To say sunset to sunset, you're actually going to rob the Lord's Day of some time there. Because every other day, you're going to account Monday starts midnight to midnight, basically a full 24-hour day. But if we say, well, when it comes to the Sabbath, you know, it's when the sun sets. That's when it starts and that's when it ends. Because, you know, this is one way you can sneak in your evening NFL game, right? Because now you're playing games and say, hey, the Sabbath starts when the sun sets. But then you're taking away from the day. No. Nehemiah, in order to put order to Jerusalem and subsequently to Judah, he said, nope, what we're going to do is when the sun is setting on Friday, we're going to shut the gate. We're going to shut it. We're going to shut it down. And he gives standing orders that the gate should not be open until after the Sabbath. After the day had ended. Not when the sun set on the Sabbath. He said, okay, now we can open up the gates. No. He said, after the Sabbath. Then we can open up the gates again. Then he placed some of his own servants, which were armed, to ensure his lawful order was observed in case the gatekeepers that were already assigned would be in any way found in noncompliance due to a number of reasons. You can just think about it, right? You know, you had the gatekeepers. I don't know what their wages were, but bribery existed back then like it does today. And if you have entrepreneurs that want to get their, you know, their silk wares into the city, their purple cloth into the city, which sells for a lot of money in there, you're probably going to bribe some of those gatekeepers. Hey, let me in. Let me in. So he put his people there. Now, let me point something out from this text as well. Something that is practical for us regarding keeping the Lord's Day. There are some jobs and duties that are allowed and must take place even on the Lord's Day or the Christian Sabbath. Just like in the days of Nehemiah. Notice what Nehemiah says. He put his servants at the gate on the Sabbath to accompany the gatekeepers on the Sabbath. Law enforcement, in other words, is a necessary duty because they uphold law and order in society, even on the Lord's Day. And so law enforcement is a justified and necessary duty to be performed even on the Lord's Day. Mainly to ensure that good order and tranquility are maintained, especially for the benefit of the church and for the preservation of the nation. And there are other such duties that can and even must be performed on the Lord's Day, which are works of mercy, like medical, not just for humans, but for animals as well. We have veterinarians in our congregation. Veterinarian work is a work of necessity and mercy. And if you don't think so, just remember what Christ taught when he scolded the Pharisees. Hey, when your donkey falls in that ditch on the Sabbath, don't you get it out? I mean, They care for their animals. And Christ, even in his law regarding the fourth commandment, says we should care for ours. So Nehemiah posted guards, and he had them shut the gates. He gave orders to not allow any beasts of burden or any burden of commerce to even enter into the city. This is in plain keeping of the fourth commandment, which in part states, in it, thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle. Again, in Jeremiah 17:21, which I read last week, states, thus saith the Lord, take heed to yourselves, and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem. See, God is very clear, and the civil rulers before Nehemiah blatantly disregarded his law. Allowing commerce on the Lord's day was an unlawful and unjust act. It was sinful rebellion. And the Word of God then teaches us that even under the New Testament, the general equity of rule, practice, and keeping the Lord's day holy is required for a civil ruler or government to uphold. See, civil rulers are to prohibit, even today, in our society, they are to prohibit the transit of commerce on the Lord's Day. This is a plain outworking of the moral law of God as defined by the Ten Commandments. All civil rulers are commanded by King Jesus to enforce the Sabbath, the Christian Sabbath, by law, within the territories, and then to prohibit the transit and distribution of commerce on the Lord's Day. You see, every Lord's Day there should never be trucks on the road transporting commerce. The trains should not be running. The ports should not be operating. Distribution hubs and gateways should be shut down. And all of this should be enforced by law. That's what Romans 13 teaches. Romans 13 teaches that the civil magistrate is to uphold that which is good and to punish that which is evil. What is good? How do we define that which is good? The law of God defines it for us. And what is evil? Well, we saw last week, desecrating the Sabbath is evil. And so the civil magistrate should punish that which is evil. And we have Nehemiah doing that. But then you will hear Christian economists that state that such laws, such Sabbath laws, would be detrimental to the economy of the United States and therefore should never be enacted to protect our nation. Brothers and sisters, such comments and even fear-mongering is the type of foolishness that Nehemiah had to put up with from the nobles and even from the priests of his day. The nobles were like, but Nehemiah, I mean, we cannot just cease commerce. We have to have commerce 7 days a week. Or the people from Tyre and Sidon and from all the surrounding nations will stop trading with us. They will stop coming. Nehemiah, you're going to ruin our economy. Brothers and sisters, the Apostle Paul, by under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said it, hit the nail on the head when he said, the love of money is the root of all evil. God has commanded that no commerce should be performed on the Lord's Day. And so we should trust God's law over and against even the best and brightest Christian economists and politicians. Let us submit to God and not to these men to have more of a concern over economy than the glory and honor of King Jesus Christ. See, God is wise. Even the most brightest and most wisest man, to God is just foolishness. You see, commerce can cease for a day, brothers and sisters, and our economy will not plummet. It won't. Let us trust in the Lord. Let us trust that His law is truly good and holy and will not lead to our ruin. Let us move on to verse 20. So the merchants and sellers of all kind of ware lodged without Jerusalem once or twice. Then I testified against them and said unto them, why lodge ye about the wall? If ye do so again, I will lay hands on you. From that time forth came they no more on the Sabbath. Notice, the sellers of commerce and goods camped outside the gates. They were challenging Nehemiah's lawful edicts and authority. They were trying to see if they could find a way in. Or if maybe the nobles could, like, you know, persuade Nehemiah to open the gates. You know, okay, all right, Nehemiah, one day, all right. Joke's over, Nehemiah, second day. Second Lord's Day, second Sabbath has come. All right, Nehemiah, all right, how much is it going to cost to have you open the gates? You know, I mean, everything is a negotiation, right? We can negotiate everything. Come on, Nehemiah. What's it going to take to open the gates? Look at all of them. They're here. They're waiting. They were lodging. They're camping outside the walls within Judah on the Sabbath. I mean, to get to Jerusalem, you know, you have to go up a mountain. You have to go up. You have to first enter Judah. Then you have to go up. Then you pitch in front of Jerusalem. And you have all these people doing this, coming up on the Sabbath. And what were they coming to do? They were coming to worship. You know, the Psalms speak of all the nations coming up to Jerusalem to worship Him on the Sabbath. And you hear all these people from the surrounding nations coming up to Jerusalem, but not to worship, not to keep His holy day. Or is day holy? No, but to sell. And their very presence was in direct violation of keeping the Sabbath sanctified and holy. Their very entering Judah itself, the territory of Judah, and then going up the mountain to then pitch in front of the gates of Jerusalem was itself a desecration of the Sabbath. And they're transgressing God's law within the covenant community and territory of Judah. And we have seen it throughout the Old Testament. Whether Jew or Gentile, the moment they enter the territory of Israel or Judah, they're all subject to the law of God. And not just the second table, Commandments 5 through 10, but the first table, Commandments 1 through 4. Their very presence on the Sabbath was an affront to our holy God. A direct and flagrant violation of His holy law. Nehemiah allowed it to happen only twice. Then he threatened them. He threatened them. This threat was well within his rights. And actually, the threat and punishment were in accordance to the law of God, and therefore permissible by God Himself. And the threat had the desired effect. They ceased from coming on the Sabbath. See, Nehemiah said, do it again, and I'm going to lay hands on you. And he's not talking about the Pentecostal way. Okay, he's going to lay hands on them. He's going to come down. He's going to arrest them. And if they were to resist, I'm sure they were going to have the rod inflicted upon them. And this is the duty of the civil magistrate. This is well within the rights of the civil magistrate to uphold the law of God. And Nehemiah was not being severe. He was not some unjust or mean governor. He was holy in his actions, and he was holy in his words. And he did what God had commanded. Notice that neither Judah nor Jerusalem's economy specifically suffered from Nehemiah's enforcement. The text states they no longer returned on the Sabbath. Yet we know, just looking at history, we know full well that commerce and the selling of the goods took place the rest of the week. They came back the next day and they learned, okay, Friday night they're closing the gates. We pack up sometime during Friday and we head out. Because for them, the Sabbath is serious. Remember when the Babylonians were sacking Jerusalem? Remember the text I read? They mocked their Sabbaths because they didn't keep them. Here's the people of Jerusalem saying, "Oh Lord, I thought we were your people." And the Lord said, "If you're my people, then why didn't you keep my law? Why didn't you keep my day holy?" And the Babylonians come and say, "Yeah, you're God's people, all right. Ha ha ha, you and your holy days." But here's Nehemiah saying, "Nope. You're not going to mock our Sabbath anymore. It's going to be enforced." Their economy remained intact, brothers and sisters. And this is a rebuke to modern Christian economists that fear national Sabbath keeping. Brothers and sisters, we need to see that we should be praying. We should be praying to the Lord that He will so change the hearts of our magistrates, of our rulers, that they will be persuaded of God's law to enforce Sabbath keeping in our land. Now, you know, is it in your mind right now? That's impossible. He fed 5,000 men, besides women and children, from a few pieces of bread and fish. He healed that Canaanite mother's daughter without even seeing her. There are other Christians, even within the Reformed faith, that you will hear and probably you have heard, that would challenge the idea that the civil government even has a role in Sabbath enforcement from a civil government perspective. That what Nehemiah did was Old Testament upholding of the law. He was just performing his judicial and ceremonial law keeping. But is this true? You may have others say that the Sabbath's not even for today. Keeping the first day of the week holy. Hey, that's not for today. It's, you know, Christ is our Sabbath and heaven is our Sabbath. But under the New Testament, don't worry about keeping a Lord's Day holy. Some even call for a complete and utter separation of church and state under the New Testament, that they don't even talk to each other. And the government has nothing to do about even upholding the Ten Commandments. Brothers and sisters, such theologians and even keyboard warriors have again failed to rightly discern the Word of God. They rely on myths to propagate the so-called continental Sabbath view that the fourth commandment is not for today. And maybe some of you have not heard of this, but some of you have. For those of you that have, I'm going to cite some quotes to encourage you to abandon and to get away from this so-called continental Sabbath myth. And for those of you who have not heard it, you might hear it, and this is, take it as an inoculation against that. Okay? There's this guy, lived a long time ago, named Henry Bullinger. He was a Swiss reformer, you know, from the continent. whose work titled The Decades outsold John Calvin's Institutes in England during the 16th century. Henry Bullinger was even more popular than John Calvin in that day. Okay? People were reading The Decades, Bullinger's works, over Calvin's Institutes. Well, what did Bullinger write regarding the duty of the civil rulers in enforcing the Lord's Day? He wrote this, and I quote, and this is a continental reformer. Okay, remember that. Quote, "It is the duty of the Christian magistrate to compel to amendment the breakers and contemners of God's Sabbath and worship." End quote. Okay? So the Christian magistrate is to compel to amend those who break or despise God's Sabbath and even worship. So we're talking about the first four commandments there. He then cites how under the Mosaic law, violators were punished for breaking the Sabbath. And he takes that as an example for today when he says the following, quote, "Why then should it not be lawful for a Christian magistrate to punish by bodily imprisonment, by loss of goods, or by death the despisers of religion, of the true and lawful worship done to God, and of the Sabbath day?" End quote. And then he goes on to speak against those magistrates who fail to perform this duty. In his day, you know, the modern times. That's a continental reformer, brethren. Bullinger goes on to give many more arguments and biblical proofs that the civil rulers have an obligation to uphold the Lord's Day in our day and to punish those that despise it and violate it. Also note in the quote that the civil ruler was not limited to just the fourth commandment. He says to even punish those who are idolaters, who are promoting false religion. There is this catechism. Maybe you've heard of it. It's called the Heidelberg Catechism. I don't know. Maybe you heard of that one. I say that tongue in cheek, right? It's a well-known catechism. Well, it was written by this one guy named Zacharias Ursinus. He too was born on a continent. He was a continental reformer. And he was born in what was then Germany, but today's part of Poland. Well, he wrote a commentary on this catechism, so that people will know what his thoughts were behind the catechism. And guess what he writes under the section dealing with the fourth commandment? Let me quote him. Quote, "A magistrate ought to be a defender of order and discipline among his subjects as it respects both tables of the Decalogue, and to guard against and prohibit open idolatry and wickedness, and ought to also avoid, as far as it is possible, all offenses and occasions to sin that may be given to his subjects by foreigners and sojourners." End quote. And guess what one of the proof texts are? Nehemiah 13. I can cite to you many other continental reformers that say the same thing. Martin Bucer, the Genevan reformer Francis Turretin, the two Dutch reformers, Herman Witsius, Wilhelmus de Brakel, they all say the same thing. They all talk along the same lines. So where does this continental Sabbath view come from, that the reformers taught that there is no longer a Sabbath to be kept for today, that the civil magistrate doesn't have anything to do with enforcing the law of God? Where does that come from? Because it doesn't come from them, from the very mouths of the continental reformers. Just quoted two of them to you. See, myths get made up, brothers and sisters. Lots of myths get made up. There is a myth that used to be popular, that thankfully has been debunked, that John Calvin bowled on the Sabbath. And people used to say, oh, see, Calvin didn't keep believing the Sabbath. He bowled on the Sabbath. Yeah, right. That myth has been busted. People found out it was invented in the late 1800s by some guy who didn't like Christians. Okay? So let's really discern what's going on. Let us go to the law and the testimony. If their words are not in agreement with the word of God, let us not listen to them. Brothers and sisters, the word of God is clear. There is no, gray area here. Nehemiah teaches us, by example, that the civil rulers have a duty and responsibility to uphold, promote, and enforce the fourth commandment for the good of the nation, for the good of society, all for the glory of God, and for the benefit of the church. The New Testament teaches us that the civil magistrate has been given the power of the sword to promote and uphold and enforce the law of God. Romans 13 teaches us that. And the best theologians also interpret this passage and other passages that are similar to teach the same position that I am expounding now. Here we have it in practice. Romans 13 is the doctrine. Here's the application with Nehemiah. And the word of God is a unity. So how do we apply this biblical truth to our lives? Especially if none of us are civil magistrates in any degree. Well, if any of you ever were to become a civil magistrate, or those listening have been or will be, well, you have an obligation to promote and enforce the Sabbath in your station and calling. Whether our nation enforces the Sabbath or not, you find a way to do all you can in your position to uphold and enforce the Sabbath as a magistrate. However, if you are not, look at the duty that our civil magistrate has and is failing to perform. This failure, brothers and sisters, is a chief cause for God's judgment to fall upon the nation. You see, our RP testimony that I quote in our bulletin here says that the nation that fails to uphold the law of God is threatened to cease to exist as a government and as a nation. So, what do we do? We pray. We do pray, and we need to believe that that's not just a cliche, sending prayers and positive thoughts your way kind of thing. No. We take heaven by storm, just like that woman from Canaan. Lord, you can do it. And we do our part as the church to be a prophetic voice to our society, to call upon civil magistrates to repent of their law breaking, to call upon the common population. You need to repent of your sins. And one of your sins is not keeping the Lord's Day holy. And because of that, the Lord condemns you to hell. We evangelize. We evangelize our society. We bring them the hope that is in Jesus Christ. Because they are in sin when they violate the Lord's Day. Sabbath desecration is a serious matter and one that God does not wink at. And given that many in the church today teach that the Lord's Day is abrogated, it should come as no surprise that a lot of judgment is being poured out against the church for her unfaithfulness to the kingship of Jesus Christ. The church needs to corporately repent. The church needs to corporately repent of Sabbath breaking. And specifically, repent of teaching that the Sabbath is not for today. The church needs to corporately repent for promoting the idea that it is okay to go to a restaurant after worship to do what they say is fellowship. But where they are directly violating the fourth commandment, where it says, no manservant or maidservant should be working. And guess what? That waiter and that cook is your manservant and maidservant the moment you enter there and ask them to serve you and to cook for you. And that is Sabbath breaking, brothers and sisters. Or to go and watch sports on the Lord's Day. Because they're engaged in commerce. You know, those NFL players, they make at least, starting out, $250,000 for Sunday's game. It's all commerce. And the church needs to repent corporately for encouraging this wickedness. Because it's wickedness, as Nehemiah says it. It is evil to go to the restaurant and to engage in sports watching on the Lord's Day. Nehemiah is clear in that. And I say it again and again because it's hard for us to conceive of this in our society. Because we have been taught by the church, and we'll treat this in the next Lord's Day when we get to verse 22, that it's okay to desecrate the Sabbath and there is no civil magistrate to enforce the upholding of the Sabbath. So we run nilly-lilly headlong into it. Congregation, look to yourselves. Examine yourselves. Have you given into the myth that the Lord's Day is no longer for today? Then you need to repent. For you are in sin every time you engage in commerce on the Lord's Day. You are in sin every time you tune in to watch the NFL or football or soccer for you Americans. Whatever the sport happens to be, when you excuse making others to serve you in a restaurant under the disguise of fellowship, this is sin and you need to repent. Note that all of these sinful actions would have you subject to Nehemiah's hands being laid upon you. To the magistrate's sword today, if they upheld God's law and were faithful to King Jesus. Many of us look for revival in our lands, but that is the work of the Holy Spirit. On top of that, if the church does not reform her ways now, how can we expect such a great move of the Spirit when we despise His holy law, which is a reflection of His holiness and character? Because, brothers and sisters, to despise the Lord's Day is to despise God Himself. They equate it throughout the Word of God. It is equated. God says, I gave you the Sabbath as a sign of the covenant between you and me. Just like Genesis 17, if you didn't circumcise your male child, you are despising God. When you don't baptize your children, you are despising God. When you keep the Lord's Day holy, you are despising God. And no matter who your favorite theologian or pastor is that's taught you otherwise, you need to repent. If you have been led astray or found them to be the loophole for your Sabbath desecration, you must abstain from all commerce, from servile work, and from sports watching. And employers are commanded to give their employees this day off as well. And when they fail to do so, those employers, they too fall under the wrath of God. We may not see it soon as we would like, but they are under God's wrath when they force their employees to work on the Lord's Day. And it is just and right for Christians to resist working on the Lord's Day when such work is not a work of necessity or of mercy. This is one way to honor Jesus Christ, our King. And I remind you, brothers and sisters, what our Lord said. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you honor me, I will honor you. So then, brothers and sisters, how do we apply this when we're not civil magistrates? Show your love to Christ. Seek to honor Him. And if you are ever in a supervisory position at work, do all you can to uphold the Lord's Day, to give your employees that day off. Honor Him, and He will honor you. Let us stand and pray. Our Lord and our God, we come before you in the name of Christ to give you thanks for your word that you have given to us. We praise you, O Lord.